Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, God, we come this morning to honor and to worship you first of all. We've done some wonderful things. We've had some wonderful music this morning. We've given of our tithes and our offerings for your kingdom. But now, Lord, we come to hear a word from you. I ask that you open us up, open our eyes that we may see you in this sermon, our ears that we may hear you, and our hearts that we may receive your word, your message to us. And everyone said, amen. Reverend James isn't here today, but I got the same message I got every time I preach here. It simply says to be accurate, to be brief, and to be seated. But since he isn't here, I don't know whether I follow these orders today. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Acts, the 9th, beginning at the 9th chapter, verses 36 through 43. Now, there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died, and when they washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. And the widow stood beside him, weeping and showing garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. What if is the title of my sermon this morning. And before I get started, I want you to bear with me and ask you to play this what if game with me. And hear how it goes. I'll tell you about an imaginary event, and you can think about how you would feel if the story were true. Again, I'm making this up. It's not real. But here's the first what if. You walk to your friend's house one day and the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. And you have a great visit with your friend, but when it comes time for you to walk back home, it's pouring down rain. You don't have an umbrella or a raincoat with you. Your friend is standing next to you at the door looking at the rain coming down. And what if your friend said to you, I had a great visit with you today. I hope you get home all right. How would you feel? Imagine this. You're walking on the sidewalk downtown and you fall and you scrape your knee and your knee is bleeding and you try to get up, but you are in so much pain until you can't get up and you begin to cry. A young man comes by and you say, "Young man, can you help me get up?" And here comes the what if part. What if the young man looked at your bleeding knee and said, "Oh, I am sure that God will heal you." And then he walks away, leaving you on the sidewalk. How would you feel? Here is another imaginary event. You lose your job. They're downsizing at the company. And you have no income. You haven't told anybody because you're ashamed that you have no job and no money. You have no income haven't had income for a while, and you go to a friend's house to visit, and he or she asks, how are you doing? And you reply, I have lost my job. I have no money, and I ran out of food on yesterday. What if your friends say, oh, I'm sorry. I will pray for you. Hold your head up. I'm sure things will get better. I'm sorry, but I have an appointment to go to now. Glad you stopped by. How would you feel? Let's revisit the what if story. This story you could have, you, the person could have used a little help. Don't you think? What could your friend have done to help you avoid getting soaking wet? When you fell, what could the young man have done to assist you? What could the friend have done to help the unemployed friend? In all three of the what ifs, the persons who responded, they were not bad people. They had kind words to say to the person needing help. But what was missing? There was something missing. Their action and their response to the person. In all three cases, each person was in a situation in which he or she did not create their dilemma, but they needed the help of someone else. Sometimes, all of us, our actions do not tell the whole story of who we are. We get so caught up in our own stuff until we forget to stop and to focus on what's truly important. Maybe the young man had to go to work and he just felt that he didn't have time to help the lady get up. He wasn't a bad young man. What if we live by the words of Jesus to his disciples? Jesus says, I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the work that I do. They will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. Let that soak in for just a minute. And I'm going to explain that passage. How in the world can we do greater things than Jesus? But that's what Jesus said. He says, you, my disciples, will do greater things. Greater things. As a physical person, Jesus was present in only one place at a time. But after he returned to his Father, he would be represented wherever his followers would go. When we become followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit gives each one of us a spiritual gift or gifts to continue Jesus' earthly work. This is what Jesus was saying. We most certainly can't do greater things than Jesus, but what Jesus was saying, you will reach more people than I have ever reached. I've been confined to this area, but because you are my disciples and because you believe in me, you will go all over the world helping people. Jesus could see that jets and airplanes would be available where we could take food over to people who have experienced a disaster. Greater, Jesus said, you as my disciple. So we don't have a choice. Jesus gave his 12 apostles a special power to continue his work after his ascension to his heavenly Father. The apostles were given the power to do some unbelievable things, not for themselves, but for others. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, the first verse, Jesus calls his apostles together, the 12, the 11 apostles, because Judas wasn't with them at this time. He called them to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. What if they had not been given the power to heal? Would people have continued to believe in Jesus Christ? If Jesus come today and walk through the door, a person come and they said, I am Jesus, I have returned. And the first thing that I would say is, show me your power. Jesus did all of these things for people to realize that he had that extra power. And yes, he was the Messiah. And so when he was getting ready to go to his Father, he said to his apostles, you will do what I did here on earth. They were given again the power to help others, to bring people to Christ. The book of Acts, written by Luke, gives us an account of the development of the early Christian church. Read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. It will tell you how people came together to do the work of Christ. It will tell you the persecution that they experienced. But the book was written by Luke, and Luke was a physician. He was not one of the 12 apostles. But it gives an account of the development of the early church. And the church began with a small body of followers of Jesus. They were Jews. Remember, Jesus came to who? To work with his people, the Jews. Gentiles were outcast. But after Jesus' ascension to heaven, Jews came together, Gentiles came together, men and women came together. In our scripture today, we are introduced to a lady named Tabitha, is the way they pronounce it in Greek, or Dorcas. Scripture says that she was a disciple of Christ. She was the only woman in the Bible referred to as a disciple. Scripture also says that she was highly regarded in her community, full of good works and charity. Charity is not just giving a small donation to a cause, but in Christian terms, in Jesus' term, charity involves being among the people of God. Scripture says that she was a disciple, and what does it mean to be a disciple? In Reverend James, we're glad you asked. What does it mean to be a disciple? To be a disciple of Christ, it means a student, a follower, a believer, and supporter of Christ. We learn from Jesus how to live a life pleasing to God. Jesus said, when the religious leaders of the Jewish community would come and they would confront Jesus about his teachings, Jesus one day said, wait, let me just tell you this. Let me tell you this. There are but two laws that are important. And if you follow these two, everything else will fall into place. One, love God with all of your heart and all of your soul. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. If we do that, everything will fall into place. Jesus was more concerned about the well-being of all humans, not just a select few. As a disciple, Dorcas was a doer of Jesus' commands. She reached out to make a difference. She started a sewing ministry in her church. Now, this was during the first century, and widows, especially Gentile women, weren't taken care of properly. And the book of Acts gives us a glimpse of how these women were treated. Scripture tells us that the Gentile widows were complaining that they were being neglected in the church of the distribution of food. And these widows weren't necessarily old women. Some had small children. But they tended to be poor at the bottom of society, according to society's standards, but not according to Jesus' standards. Without anyone, they didn't have anybody to represent them or to protect them. And these are the women who Dorcas reached out to help. Although eventually the church addressed the needs of these women to provide food for them, there was still a gap. It appeared that Dorcas was concerned about the women's self-esteem. Yeah, they were given some food, but their self-esteem was low. As a disciple, Dorcas felt that she had to do something to make good things happen for the women and children. And it appeared that she was a seamstress. We have any seamstresses in here? Any sewing people? None? Oh, we have one here. We have two. We have three. We have four. We have five. It appears that Dorcas was a seamstress. It appears that she was a seamstress, and she started a sewing ministry to sew clothes for the women and their children. Most of the people who provided clothes were outcasts. And how did they, before Dorcas started this ministry, how did they get clothes to wear? Well, they would go down to the ocean, and the ocean would wash up rags from different ships in different places, and they would pick up the rags and take them home and make clothes for themselves and their children. But thanks to Dorcas, not only did she purchase the material, she sewed the clothes. Again, Dorcas was a doer of God's word. The women and children were able to walk away with a new spirit. They could walk with pride. They could walk with their heads held up high. Many, many adults, older adults, have shared this story with me of their childhood upbringing. Although they are now successful, that had not always been the case. They remember as a child having to wear hand-me-down clothes. They remember being made fun of as children. They remember feeling as an outsider among their peers. And some of these people have told me that they remember their mothers working to get money to buy material to sew clothes for them. Here, there is a worldwide sewing ministry that was started. I don't know who started it, but different organizations and different groups will sew clothes out of pillowcases, dresses for girls in Africa. I know that the United Methodist Women here last year participated in that ministry where they sewed dresses from pillowcases and sent them to Africa. Well, I'm with the group now and with the sorority, and I thank all of the sororities. I'm with the AKAs, but I thank all of the sororities are now involved, and so we are just making dresses and we are sending them to Africa. And yesterday, the women were together and they made this beautiful dress. Isn't that beautiful? To make a dress for a little girl so she can walk around in the community feeling good about herself. And yesterday when the women were together, oh, they had so much fun. It was an opportunity to share with each other and to bond with each other as they were sowing to help others. It appears that Dorcas was a woman of means. It doesn't say, scripture doesn't say whether she was married, but she could have given money, but instead, just the money, but instead she chose to also give of herself. As disciples of Christ, we show our love by doing for others. Each one of us has a purpose in the Lord. Each one of us. What if Dorcas had not been there to sow and encourage the women and the children? What if she had not been there? Would they have come to believe in Jesus? Would they have come to believe in the miracles of God? Would they have come to be a part of the new faith community? Dorcas stepped out on faith, and because of her faith, she was able to impact a whole community, and the kingdom of God grew as a result. God allows miracles for a reason. What if Jesus had not performed the miracle of feeding 5,000 with 5 fish and 4 loaves of bread? What if he did not do that on that particular day? People would have left saying, oh, I don't believe in Christ, but people saw the miracle. In addition to the miracles that Jesus performed, Jesus' ministry and teachings turned the world upside down. Jesus and God are not human. I think we make a big mistake when we think of God as being human. God can do anything that God wants to do. And Jesus came and turned the world upside down. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah, the God's Son. And Jesus' works, action caused people to believe. And people, I am so glad that I am part of this family, the Palm Coast United Methodist family. Y'all are some of the most warmest people, kindest people that I have met in my ministry. And just keep doing what you're doing. And when people come through the door, make them feel at home like I feel at home. And they too, if they are not believers, they too will become what? They will become believers. Keep doing all of the ministries that you're doing, because you are the hand and the feet of Jesus Christ. And James, the book of James, Jesus' brother, this is what James says. He says, what good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not work, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith? And I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my work. Things have changed in our society. I'm talking about people who really need help. I'm not talking about someone who is too lazy to work, you see. Don't get confused in terms of who we're to help. We're to help those who cannot help themselves. Growing in faith is a process. We have to have faith to do what God has called us to do. And it most certainly is a process. Most people at some point, including me, have questions and doubts at some point about their faith. It is a faith is a work in progress. It is in working through those questions and doubts that our faith becomes stronger. Our faith matures by reading and hearing the Word of God. How do you know what God requires of us if you do not read and study God's Word? Romans 10:17 says, then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It is through faith that we can trust that God is the one who has all the answers and know what is best. In the book of Isaiah, it says, I love this, one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah the 55th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Listen to it. This is God speaking. God says to the people, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That little voice that's inside, telling you what you need to do to be a disciple of Christ. Listen to that voice. Dorcas dies. One of the women spoke up in the church and said, did you hear that Peter, the disciple of Jesus, healed a paralyzed man over in Lydia? And although the people didn't, the women did not see the miracle, they had faith and they believed that Peter was a servant of God. The women had faith that Peter could come. That he would come. I don't know whether they believed that he would raise Dorcas from the grave. Maybe they thought that he would just come, raise her from being dead. Maybe they thought that he would come and pray with them. But they stepped out in faith. One of the women said, go get Peter and tell him to come to us quickly. What if you believe the word of Jesus in Matthew 21:22? He says, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. As a disciple, what if you believe God hears your prayers? What if you believe that when you come and when you pray that God will respond? What if you believe that? God may surprise you. If you step out in faith and hold on to hope. So Peter gets up and he goes quickly. When he gets there, I think it's noteworthy that we are told that Peter knelt down and he began to pray. In other words, Peter showed a sign of humility. As a little girl, I remember, as a little girl, when I would go to my grandmother's house and I would sleep with her every morning, and I was confused. I could not understand it. But every morning when she would get up, before she would do anything, she would get on her knees and pray. I was puzzled by that as a little girl. But as I grew older, I began to embrace the humility that my grandmother had as she approached God with her request. And now every morning I get up before I do anything. I fall on my knees and I pray. And I'm sure that some of you, your grandmother or your mother, set that same example for you. What if you followed the example of the lady with an issue of blood who said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. If you have been going from one doctor to another, what if you prayed and asked God, give the doctors wisdom. Nobody seems to know what's wrong. What if you prayed, Lord, I am lonely. Send someone who is your disciple to help fill the void in my life. What if you did like Tina Turner? I don't know whether You remember Tina Turner and Ike Turner? You remember Ike was so mean? When they were getting a divorce, the judge said, "What is it that you want, Miss Turner?" She said, "I do not want anything. Nothing. I walked out with the clothes on my back." She said, "All I want is my freedom." And the judge said, "No, you can get much more than that." But she said, "No, that's all I want." And after that, Tina Turner, I mean, she soared. Whew. She's a happy lady. You can just see it all in her face. So what if you say, "It's not worth it. I'm going to walk away from the mess and let God work it out." Peter's power to heal is not to be seen as magic, because he did. He healed Dorcas and told her to come forward, and she raised up. And he called the women, and oh, they began to shout and praise God. But his power is not to be seen as magic, but the power of God in the name of Jesus working through Peter. She was healed. Luke, who wrote this book of Acts, again, he doesn't tell us the whole story. What if Dorcas had stayed home and let the men come up with the way of caring for the widows? Women, what do you think? What if Dorcas said, "No, I'm not going to get involved"? What if Peter had said, "I will stick to fishing" and leave healing to the doctor? What if he had not stepped out in faith? If you have the courage to care and the humility to pray, things can always change. Believe that. Believe it in your heart. Now, in closing, I have one more what if for you. What if no one had ever told you that God loves you? Where would you be? Think about that. Let's give God a hand clap. Amen. What if?